Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. On WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. We have Gail Sheehy coming up a little bit later in the show, who is, of course, best known for Passages. And we'll give some of you who may be Passages readers and have been helped by that book a chance to call in. And you know, what an interesting career Gail Sheehy had, because she wrote Passages, which is sort of a self-help book, but she also had this journalism career that's been groundbreaking with Vanity Fair the last 30 years, New York Magazine before that, where she helped invent contemporary magazine journalism. I'm going to start by asking her about a story in her memoir about sitting around the old New York Magazine in the 70s with these giants of literary journalism of the year. I think Tom Wolfe was in the circle and some others, where they were just full of ideas and they were pushing each other, and it was just this atmosphere of incredible intellectual ferment. So thank Joan Didion, Gay Talese, Hunter Thompson for the context of some of Gail Sheehy's earliest work and her pioneering psychological profiles of world leaders, analyzing Margaret Thatcher, Hillary Clinton, both George Bushes, etc. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, we'll do a little more politics first, 7 minutes each with the candidates in another interesting state Senate race in next Tuesday's New York primary, both coming off interesting losses in this case. In the district covering Upper Manhattan, State Senator Adriano Espaillat, the incumbent, who just gave Charlie Rangel that run for his money in their congressional primary in June, versus former city councilman Robert Jackson, who got term limited out of office after 12 years and then lost a primary for Manhattan Borough President, as you may remember last year. Gail Brewer won that. So 7 minutes with the challenger, Robert Jackson, first. Hi, Mr. Jackson. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. I hope all is well. This is a new school year and everything is going well out there in New York City public school system.
Good. So for many people, this is a choice they would rather not have to make. And I live in the district and I know how some people feel about both you and Espaillat. And a lot of people would rather not have to make this choice. So why go after him in a primary when his star seemed to be rising after running against Rangel?
Well, I would disagree with you, Brian. I think people want to make a choice, especially when they know that their current state senator, most people don't know this because they don't read NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group, and other stats, that their state senator has been missing in action with respect to 60% of the time up in Albany and 891 votes. And when they know that, I've asked that question loud and clear, that if I work for you and I was absent 60% of the time because I'm looking for another job, would I still have my job with you? The answer was overwhelmingly no, you'll be fired, and hell no, and all kind of things like that. Here's the bottom line, though. I have a proven track record in the city council for 12 years, taking care of the business of our community when it comes to education. I want to go up to be the champion for education. When it comes to affordable housing, I've led the fight for affordable housing in the city council. For example, one example is the Sugar Hill Project, right on 155th Street in St. Nicholas. From the ground up, Broadway housing community, I've allocated millions of dollars of capital money to build 124 units of low and moderate housing, a daycare center with 120 daycare slots, and a children's museum right there. And when it comes to seniors, no one has fought harder in order to keep senior centers open. I stood with all of Jessica Lappin, who was the chair of the aging committee, and went to many, many senior centers fighting on their behalf. So I have a proven track record, and I plan on taking that to Albany. And when I tell people that their current senator, when he became the senator in 2010, he immediately ran for Congress and lost in 2012. He ran again in 2014 and lost. And he never answered the question, are you going to run for Congress in 2016 and be absent have the worst attendance record out of all state senators this year. And 2 years ago, he had the second worst, and the only person that had a worst attendance record was Shirley Huntley, the state senator from Queens.
Let me jump in and ask, how much of an issue of attendance do you really want to make? Is it not kind of standard or common that when somebody's running for higher office at the same time that they're serving, they're going to miss a lot for that period of time?
No. No. People expect you to do the job and be up there working, and especially when you're being paid for it. Let me just give you the – he was quoted in a newspaper a couple of weeks ago when he had a Dominican Heritage breakfast when they asked him about why was he absent so much. And he said, 2 weeks before the congressional election, I was 80% of the votes occurred within 1 week, and I could not be in two places at one time. Well, Brian, I say to you, his job was to be up there representing Albany. And this is what I pledge to the people of your listening audience and all of where I've gone. One, I will hold no other job but the state senator job. Number two, I will be full-time, 100% of the time, absent vacation and being sick. And number three, I would not be running for another office in a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, and I would only want to be the state senator.
What do you see?
That's what I pledge to people.
What do you see as the two biggest issues facing the district that the state senate might actually deal with?
Education. One is education. Number two is preserving and maintaining and building affordable housing. Those are the major issues that impact our district. And jobs and opportunity. And then also comprehensive health care. Everyone's affected by that. But, Brian, I've said that the most important thing is the safety and security of the people that I represent. Because if we are afraid in our district, if there's shootings and killings, we're in trouble. And that's why last Sunday I ran 13 miles in a run for peace from 26th Street and 9th Avenue, the southern end of the district near the Elliott Houses, all the way to Marble Hill. And we stopped seven different locations with the clergy and many other people and had a prayer for peace. No matter where violence occurs, we want peace on this earth.
And how have you been successful on those issues earlier in your career?
Oh, very much so. As I indicated, education, obviously, Brian, you know that I was the lead plaintiff in a campaign for fiscal equity, walked 150 miles to Albany, and won billions of dollars for our children. No one, Brian, can say that but me. In fact, you may be aware that New York won on January 2002, named myself and Michael Rebell, our attorney, and the Campaign for Fiscal Equity, New Yorkers of the Year. And I've said loud and clear.
That was the law, just so people know, that was the lawsuit that forced the state to give more money to New York City public schools.
And, Brian, I've said that in the 20 years that New York won has been naming New Yorkers of the Year, I'm the only elected public official that has been named New York of the Year. So throw that aside for a second. And when it comes to jobs and training and development, Brian, you know I co-chaired the Black, Latino, and Asian Caucus of the City Council, 27 members for 8 years. I co-chaired that. And we put forward a program through Speaker Christine Quinn, a program called Jobs to Build On, which was giving people that were underemployed job opportunities and also giving them the training if they needed training so they can hold on to a job. And the Clinton Global Initiative said that that was a model that should be modeled across the country because it was so successful. And as far as education, you know, I fought loud and clear to save 6,000 teaching jobs and put forward with Christine Quinn 4,000 universal pre-K slots. You know, when it comes to fighting for our children and our teachers and educators, no one. In fact, last night on New York One, they asked, well, why did UFT endorse Adriana Espaillat and DC 37 and CSA, the Council of Supervisors and Administrators, endorse me? Was it really something substance or was it political? And obviously, I said it was political because anytime UFT awards me with their highest award ever they give anyone, the John Dewey Award, which they've given to President Clinton, to Eleanor Roosevelt, and Martin Luther King Jr., it had to be political.
Robert Jackson, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Brian, and I enjoy your show all the time.
Thank you very much. And we're doing 7 minutes each with the two candidates in the interesting state Senate primary in Upper Manhattan next Tuesday. Now, State Senator Adriano Espaillat, the incumbent, who just gave Charlie Rangel a run for his money in their congressional primary in June. Senator Espaillat, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you once again for inviting me to your wonderful show.
You want to jump right in on that endorsement that Robert Jackson was talking about a minute ago, that he got the UFT, but you got the Principals Union, the Council of Supervisors. Does that mean you're a management guy?
I think they're management. I think the teachers are you know, rank and file. And so, you know, this is a double standard, unfortunately, that he's put out there. When it's an endorsement for him, and the only two endorsements that he's gotten are those two unions. It's fine. It's on the merit. If it's an endorsement for us, but yeah, it's political. You know, I was endorsed by the United Federation of Teachers, by District Council 32BJ, 1199, the TWU, RSWU, Teamsters, a host of most of the unions, with the exception of those two unions, have supported me. But, you know, the UFT did that. The yeah. UFT did that because they understood the work that I did this year with Mayor de Blasio in getting funding for the universal pre-K program that started yesterday. 30,000 New York City kids benefited from that program. It's projected to benefit by next year 70,000 kids in the city. You know, we got.
Wait, if you did that, why would the UFT endorse your opponent?
No, the UFT is endorsing me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead. I misunderstood.
The UFT is endorsing me. And the principals are endorsing my opponent. They recognize
I got it reversed. I apologize.
You got it reversed. Okay. Well, they recognize the job that we did in Albany in getting funding, not only for universal pre-K, but additional funding, a $250 million increase in the foundation formula, another millions of dollars for after-school program. This year was a very good year for education funding. And the mayor called me right after I ran for Congress and told me, look, Espaillat, we need you back in Albany. We need you. Your district needs you. The city needs you. And I decided to run again. And I'm here as a candidate. I worked very hard to make sure the working class people get a fair shake. I'm the sponsor, the lead sponsor of the minimum wage bill. You saw how people across the country rallied yesterday in the fast food industry to increase the minimum wage to $15. I think it's important. You know, rent is not just a problem because the rent may be too high. It's also a problem when you're making very little money. And so we're taking up rent stabilization next year. That's a big issue. I am the ranker in the housing committee. I hope to be the chairperson of the housing committee as we come into a session where we as Democrats may be the majority, and we can really reform housing. We can do MCI reform, major capital improvement reform. Currently, a landlord could up your rent when they repair your windows, when they do your boiler, your roof, the increase is permanent. And then once you renew your lease, the increase goes on top of that. We have to do some reform with regards to, the luxury decontrol and vacancy decontrol, as well as preferential rent. These are the issues that I know, that I dominate, that I know deep in my heart, deep inside, that we can change. My opponent has no experience with these issues. You know, he doesn't know the legislature. He worked in the city council, a unicameral system. This is a two-house system, and currently a bipartisan legislature. I hope to come back with a Democratic majority in the Senate. But we have a great agenda for next year.
Let me ask you about the issue that Mr. Jackson wanted to raise most against you. We kept coming back to it in our short interview, which was your absentee rate over the last couple of sessions as you were running for Congress against Charlie Rangel. He said you have a responsibility to be in Albany for important votes, and you had the second highest absentee rate of any state senator except one who had been arrested and led away in handcuffs so she couldn't be there.
Well, look, besides that, last year when I ran for Congress, I had a stellar attendance record. One of the best in the state legislature. And yes, last session, I introduced more legislation in that session than Robert Jackson ever introduced in his entire council career. So, you know, he hasn't been productive. He's been sitting there as chair of the Education Committee, and he complains about the state of education today. Well, you've been the chair for, you know, for a long time, for over 8 years. What have you done? I think that he hasn't done enough. I will continue to fight. If you, you know, I may have not gotten the Nobel Peace Prize or a MacArthur Award, but I could assure you that I'm a fighter. And that if you need a fighter in your corner when the chips are down and when things are going wrong for the city or the district that I represent, you want Adriano Espaillat in your corner. Whether it's housing, the women's rights bills that are coming up, the DREAM Act, I've been a strong advocate for the immigration, the bills, pieces of legislation that have been taken up in Albany. I'm the chief sponsor of the minimum wage bill. I've organized 35,000 livery drivers, gave them a workers' compensation bill. I also allow over 30,000 home-based daycare providers, for the most part women, to be able to collectively bargain with the UFT and be able to now get a pension, a health plan, and a decent salary. So some of the things that I've done, they impacted thousands of people in my district across New York. I have the farm workers bill, which is really one of the most interesting pieces of legislation in Albany. You know, the New York Constitution still disallows farm workers to get a day off, to be able to collectively bargain, to be able to get pay overtime. These are the things I'm working with, and the Kennedy Center, with Kerry Kennedy, who has supported me in making sure that we bring 100,000 farm workers that are still subject to Jim Crow laws, the residues of Jim Crow laws, bring them to this century. Bring them to the standard that they should be as workers, that everybody else has.
Not maybe the biggest issue in upstate Manhattan, but certainly a big issue in upstate New York. And there,
well, you know, we have green markets, you know, and there's this whole ethical culture movement moving forward in the city of New York. You got to eat right. What about the people that pick your food? What are they getting paid? How are they being treated? Shouldn't we be concerned about that as well?
Adriano Espaillat, the incumbent state senator in Upper Manhattan, we heard earlier from his challenger in the Democratic primary next Tuesday, Robert Jackson. Senator, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Gail Sheehy, right after this.